Mr. Drake, grade 11. Right, Mr. Drake. So, on the troop ship, there was quite a bit of gambling going on.
Yes, that was the more or less the main pastime when we could get together. And my favourite game, of course, was the three-card brag. And we got quite a few schools going on that. I remember when I was on guard duty, of course, once you got your guards in position on the watertight doors and everybody had settled down, we could manage a little game amongst the lads. And I remember I came out very, very well. I won quite a bit of money all the way round. One person dropping out and others coming in, we managed to keep a school going, and I was very successful on that particular occasion. I never went on the men's deck again to play, but I did play while I was on guard duty as sergeant in charge of the guard.
So the troops were on a different deck?
The troops were on a different deck. And then, of course, as I said, next morning, when I came off duty, when I was relieved off duty, new guard take over, I went down into the sergeant's mess deck for breakfast and upset one or two on the way down by asking them if they wanted a nice piece of pork fat. However, I enjoyed my breakfast. There was plenty there because there were that many people sick. It was unbelievable, really. So there was plenty of food on that particular morning. Mind you, we'd had a rough night on the sea, and I'm afraid there were a lot of troops that were violently sick on the morning, and everybody were dashing on deck to get some fresh air, because when you're all sleeping in a cabin like that, it gets stifling inside, and everybody's wanting to get out, and you couldn't get up the gangplank quick enough and get on deck and get some fresh air into your lungs. So finished up in the sergeant's mess, we were having a good breakfast and enjoying it, and plenty to eat because there were that many leftovers, so there was as much as one could tackle, much more actually.
You told me off the tape that during one of these card games you had to give some money back so that the bank could change it. What was that?
Well, that was when I think I'd skint the whole lot. We'd had a real good session, and we gradually dwindled the ones who'd lost all the money, and I came out as the most successful and sort of finished them all off, skint everybody, and of course, I realised that they hadn't got even money to buy cigarettes and that sort of thing, so I went round and made sure they had a few quid to buy cigarettes for the rest of the time we was on board, and they were all very thankful. And I suppose I got myself a good reputation by doing that. But I was always a generous person with anything I had. And I seemed to be very successful in the three-card brag. And I could weigh everybody up who was playing by the way they played, and how strong they were in resisting anybody not looking at the cards, and they too curious to have a look, and if they got even a pair, they'd brag on them. But that was not often the winner of a pair. Although I have seen when only a jack won, Jack Eye won a fairly big game.
Now, you mentioned off the tape that some of the officers got involved in the card games as well. Could you describe that?
Yeah, well, that was very few and far between. I only recall one session, and I got one or two of the officers secretly to have a game. And they were like themselves. They were lost for something to do at times. So I did get in a little school there, and I was successful, but not to the extent that I could skint them. I couldn't do that. Well, there was they got more money at the disposal, although I weren't short by any means. But it was just a nice little school, and everybody enjoyed it, and it passed the time on. That's what was the main thing.
Can you remember who the officers were?
No, I don't remember. There were just a few of them, more or less the junior officers, not the any senior ones.
And they were the ones that you had in the carrier platoon?
No, there was... I'm not sure whether Lieutenant Lax was among them. I'm not sure whether it was Lieutenant Lax who took me along to do it, because I was very friendly with Lieutenant Lax.
So that was up in the officers' quarters?
Yeah.
What were their quarters like on the ship?
Well, I didn't only know where I went into the card game and back again. But... it was an experience, and it was something you hadn't to talk about anyway. Nobody knew that I'd been up there.
That was just
the
one sergeant?
Yes, it was only me.
And how many were in the game? How many officers?
Oh, three or four. That's all.
And could that be because they knew of your reputation at cards?
I suppose so, and probably Lieutenant Lax had helped to instill a bit of enthusiasm to beat me. However, they didn't. But
so what else happened on the ship during this period? Any other incidents or memories?
No, the only biggest memories was the destroyers going round all the convoy, and one after the other. I don't know how many there were destroyers, but they seemed to be fairly close within one another as they went round the convoy. And as we were on the end of the convoy, of course, those seemed to come round fairly quickly. Once one had gone, there was another one coming round and throwing the depth charges down, and them exploding and spout of water coming up into the air.
Now, other veterans have remembered, as you pulled out of Liverpool, one of the destroyers coming up with a big message on a sheet.
Yeah.
Good luck, lads, or something. Can you remember anything about that?
No, I don't recall that at all. I must not have seen that. That was one that escaped my eye, as we put it.
Now, so you eventually arrived in Algiers, but when did they actually tell you that you were going to North Africa?
I think just before we got into Algiers, we realised we'd gone through Straits of Gibraltar, and then we were swinging round to the right, and I think it dawned on us that we were going into Algiers, and then of course we got to know officially just before we docked in Algiers, and so we got through the Straits of Gibraltar without any trouble and headed straight into Algiers, right into the harbour, and pulled up on the harbour side. Then we had to dismount, of course. We'd all got us rifles and Bren guns, and But, of course, there were no carriers. We had to wait in the ship with the carriers on before they to unload. In the meantime, we formed up and we had to do a march then towards destination, which was a place just outside of Algiers. I'll never forget that march.
Could you describe it?
Well, it seemed cobblestones all the way, and we walked, and this is carrying your full kit, big pack on your back, your small pack on your side, your rifle, and a Bren gun distributed among you, or among three of you, and so two were carrying barrels and others were the gun itself, and then you sort of changed them round so that everybody got a share of carrying the gun itself. And we trudged along, we marched along. 5 minutes before the hour we stopped, and we were absolutely leg weary. Some sat down on the side of the road and they couldn't get up. We had to pull them up, hand them his rifle and pull them up with the rifle. So we were absolutely leg weary after this march. Of course, I suppose being on the boat and that, and then all cobblestones, it seemed all cobblestones, and it was terrible on your feet. So we got to the destination. When we got there, we found out that the RAF had got there before us and they'd occupied it. So then we had to do another 3 or 4 miles and to a vineyard. And it was midnight or early morning that we got there, and everybody were weary and tired, and they'd had a hard slog to get there. And I always remember it was all concrete on every floor. There was 2 or 3 floors, and I was on the first floor, and I always remember I was cold all night. I couldn't get any sleep. It was terrible, and my feet were aching, and I was in a pretty weary state. The next morning, I looked at my feet, and I had 2 big blisters, and it's the only time that I had any trouble with my feet. I'd always been thankful on route marches and things like that. I'd always come off all right and never any trouble. But yet on this particular march, there were 2 big blisters. Anyway, the MO's assistant, he came up and he relieved the pressure from the blisters and told me to take it easy for a day or two, and eventually they went, and I never had any more trouble at all. But that particular occasion, don't know why, whether it was walking on the cobblestones and things like that, and the weight we was carrying, it's the only time. So I was sorry for others, because there was a lot worse feet than I had.
What was your impression of Algiers?
Algiers, it looked a beautiful place as we approached it from the sea. It was all in cream and whites and beiges on each place, towering up all up into the higher part of Algiers from the dockside. It was a really wonderful sight to see the city itself. But as you got higher up, of course, it got into the poorer quarters. Higher up you went, worse it got, up into what they call the Kasbah, where the very poor people lived, with the chickens and everything else residing with them.
And what about the local people?
We didn't see a lot of the local people. I only recall when we were in that area, having won such a great amount of money on the boat, which had distributed to the men, because otherwise I couldn't get it all changed, I decided to take all the sergeants out for a nice meal one night, and we went to one of the big restaurants in Algiers, and we got a table and we all sat round it, and who should come in but Captain Kirkup and one or two more officers. So I remember him coming to me and says, "What are you doing here?" I says, "Same as you. We've come for a good meal if we can get one." Anyway, they ordered wine, champagne and all the lot, and we had quite a good meal in that particular. But that was the only time we got back into Algiers. We were soon on the move.
Was that all the sergeants?
Just the sergeants in my lot. The Sergeant Dunn, Sergeant Aitchison, Sergeant Lucas, all the sergeants.
That's in the Carrie Platoon.
The Carrie Platoon sergeants, just the ones in my lot.
And so, what kind of place was Algiers then in terms of the Allies? I mean, could you describe? Apparently there was Americans and French.
There was all kinds roaming about in Algiers. There was French, there was Americans and what have you. They had all a big story to tell for themselves, how they arrived and occupied the town hall and this, that and the other, the Americans. But I'm afraid it was all done before they got there, no doubt about that.
So
but the great braggers of them, Yanks, the great braggers.
So you weren't impressed by the Americans?
No, I'm never impressed by the Americans. No. They could tell a good story, and that was it. I was going to be least impressed by the time I got into action, but I had my doubts about them in even before I found out for myself.
Now, so you got to this vineyard place. What actually happened there, as far as...
Well, after the routine was, we went on a small march on the morning, and I went with the troops. We did a small march around the country, and back again, but we mostly rested, and that's where I got my feet seen to with the orderly, MO's orderly, and of course he advised me not to go on any more of the marches, so I didn't go any on any of the others because of my feet with these two big blisters on, but the soon seemed to heal up, and I never had any more trouble once the deal'd up and he'd attended to them. I was all right after that.
So what was your next move from there?
His next move was in convoy then down along from Algiers, along the coast road, right up on the North African coast towards Bizerta.
Who brought the carriers from the docks the vineyard?
We went down and collected the carriers. The
so
drivers
go back.
The drivers went down, collected the carriers, and brought the carriers up. We got the carriers, then we were back in full complement, and then we formed in a convoy to make progress along the main road along the coast road right up to Sedgenane. On the way up we saw one or two ships that had been torpedoed and just run into the bank and things like that, so they were derelict, but there've been the casualties of war. There's quite a few. We saw quite a few going up as we went up the coast. Then we got to a centre where we had to pull in for the night. And that was an experience. We, of course, to service the carriers, fill up with petrol and general duties. There was army personnel who were looking after the site. And I saw something that I'll never forget the next morning. I had been warned about them, but there was a cripple came up. It had two sticks, one under each arm. I couldn't see a clear piece of skin. It was all scabs and sores all the way over his hands, his eyes. And he could hardly see, practically blind. And there was another fellow with him, and he was only a piece of sacking round his girth. And what a sight. Terribly was. And of course, they were begging. And apparently, one or two, I always remember George Graham giving him his denim suit. And one or two were sympathetic. But we found out that this was the regular thing. They were parading this lad, so as he got sympathy from the troops, and he'd get clothing, which he could. So the clothing never landed on the kiddie. That was his get out. Terrible, terrible thing when the humanity gets to its worst, when it's parading sick to obtain goods or money.
As you move towards the front, what was the road conditions like on this journey?
Oh, the road conditions were quite good. Right away along the coast road, it was quite good. We got we started off the next day and went right into the area of Sedgenane, on the south side of Sedgenane, or the, I put it, the west side. Of course, the Germans were occupying Bizerta, which was the main town in front of us, and that was their escape route from Bizerta to get back into Italy and Germany. So we'd be about 12 to 15 miles this side of Bizerta at Sedgenane. There we encamped in some woods that, as I said, more or less as we were approaching Sedgenane, we camped in these woods, and we were there for a few days. We had his duties, and with the carriers, that a section of carriers would patrol the road for about 3 miles backwards in case German troops in small numbers, probably in a small section, would come up during the night, lay landmines, and then go back. I believe it had been done on one occasion. So our duty then for 2 or 3 days was patrolling this particular road. We used to go about 3 miles down to a junction where there was a bridge over the river, and we used to go over the bridge, turn around, and then probably rest up for 10 minutes, have a cigarette and what have you, and then come back along. So that we were patrolling that road mostly. We did get machine gunned on two occasions. That were when Messerschmitts were coming over and machine gunning the road.
Can you describe that? What happened?
Yeah, well, when we when we heard them coming over, because we never heard any of his own planes, we thought we hadn't got any anyway in that particular area, and we used to get the odd or two, sometimes three Messerschmitts had come over, and the machine gun and the road, probably drop a couple of small bombs, and then turn round and strafe the road again. We were caught one time. I always remember, as soon as we saw the planes, we run off the road and got underneath the carriers, got the Bren gun ready, and as they passed, then we had at least a fire at them from at the rear. Anyway, we didn't fetch any down, but we might have put one or two bullets in them. We've always fired back.
What was their aim like when they were trying to hit you?
Oh, you could see all the as the bullets hit the road, you could see all the dust flying up machine gunning right away down the road.
And how close did they get to you?
Oh, quite close. I don't recall any hitting the carriers, because we run off the road, and of course they didn't seem to bother.
You took the carriers off the road?
We always drove the carriers off the road onto the bank or the side, probably 25, 30 yards off the road and underneath the carriers where we had protection, of course. But I don't recall them having ever hit any of the carriers. They never seemed to hit any of them. They just seemed to keep to the road.
And what was the second time you
were... The second time was very similar. Same thing happened again. The strafe the road coming in from Algiers area, coming in down, strafe the road and then turn round, and of course it gave us time to get off the road and get underneath the carriers again. And we had one of the guns was firing as they were coming down. We went from underneath the carrier as they come down to strafe the road, and then we had another of the Wrens to shoot when they were going by. But you didn't get a lot of rounds off, because they were too fast to negotiate, really. That was the second time. I don't think we had any more then, until one day they came over and strafed the woods where we was in. And we didn't... funny enough, they came over this particular day. We heard them coming over, and suddenly they were getting too close for comfort, and everybody dashed for cover. I got behind a tree. One of us lads got behind a bush. I had to laugh to myself afterwards, because there's no protection behind a bush from an aeroplane coming above. At least you have a trunk of a tree or I'm on behind. But he did hit some of the trees, but there were no casualties. There were no casualties on any occasion that the Messerschmitts and the Messerschmitts came over. We didn't seem to get any casualties at all. We were absolutely free from any of damage.
When you were on these patrols, did you have a lookout posted on the carrier? Did you have somebody like looking back?
Oh, we were stood up in the carriers. We were free to stand and and have a look round. There were a few Arabs working on the roads, repairing them. They seemed to have shovels and things like that, but they never seemed to be doing much, and they didn't see many of the road being disturbed. They was lucky on one of the occasions when the Messerschmitts came over, because they were all on the road when he came through, and he did no casualties. Only casualty what happened was some French was in a vehicle